You are now listening to Voices of the West Side with your host, John Easter. Today's guest, Ms. Lindsay Beckley from the Benjamin Harrison Veterans.com.
And good morning. Happy Friday to you. It is fall break eve here in the MSD of Wayne Township, and this is Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. Good morning. Hopefully you're having a spectacular Friday morning. I know it's been good for me so far here, and hopefully we'll just continue that right in until we get to fall break. I'm joined this morning, as always, by our producer, Mr. Kieran Sandulo.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Good.
I had a good night. I had a good day. I'm feeling good.
Everything's good then.
Everything's good.
That's good.
Good.
Good. Good. Everything's good.
Everything's good.
Well, welcome to the Voices of the West Side on Indy's Giant 90.9. Before we get to that thing over there that we like to call the big board, well, before we get to that, I lost the article, you know, because that's the way it goes. There we go. Brand new news on the West Side. This was just announced yesterday, and I'll just read the story from Fox 59. An educational and recreational facility will be built near Ben Davis High School after an agreement was reached between Wayne Township and Next Academy, Inc., a nonprofit organization founded by a Ben Davis alum. The site will be used for an indoor soccer facility, a stadium with a grandstand, as well as a community campus with meeting rooms and event spaces. The project is broken down into four phases and is expected to begin with phase one in spring of 2025. There'll be an 11v11 turf field, one modular building, an administrative office with restroom and staff kitchen, storage, grassy hill for training, yoga, and other activities, and much more. And this is Next Academy, Inc., which was founded by Tom Basamba, who is a former student of mine in mass media. But Tomba actually partnered with a very famous grad, Lauren Holiday, who is a gold medalist and was a soccer player here, also at Ben Davis. So pretty cool thing coming to the West Side. I wanted to highlight that early, and we'll try to get them on the show to talk about what's coming up, because that'll be really cool. It'll be up here at the corner of 21st and Girls School. Yeah, that's some big board news. It's not breaking news, but it's big board news.
Speaking of.
Yeah, that thing over there. The
big board. Coming up on the big board, I'm trying to find out the actual order of it all today. Well, football game first.
Sounds good to me.
Football game. We got a football game here at Ben Davis against Lawrence Central. Pre-game at 6 p.m. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. That's tonight.
Yep.
Also tonight,
it's the Lions Club, Claremont.
The Claremont Lions Club movie night. We're watching Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah.
That's free.
Yep.
It's free
out at the Claremont Lions Club Park in, you guessed it,
Claremont. Gates open up at 7 p.m. And how long does it go for? The length of the movie?
Probably the movie.
Length of the movie. About, we'll say about like an hour 45 to 2 hours. And then we got the club breakfast there.
Ben Davis Lions Club breakfast,
8 to 11 a.m. Saturday at the
Ben Davis University High School. It's right there.
Yeah. Well, BDU. I didn't know if that was two different spots.
It is, yeah. You have Ben Davis High School and Ben Davis University High School, which is the old Ben Davis Junior High, which is the old Ben Davis High School. Did that confuse you enough?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but it's over at the corner of Morris Street, well, roughly the corner of Morris and High School. That is where Ben Davis University High School is located. And, and we've had them on the show before.
Yeah.
Back when it was the previous show, School Talk, we had them on, and they closely guard their pancake recipe. It's like been passed down for years in the Lions Club. So, yeah, they do great things. And there are many other Lions Clubs. There's the Chapel Hill Lions Club, which has their big tent sale. They're a service organization, and so the different Lions Clubs that you find out, they're all independent from each other, and they all have their own service programs, and events like these go to fund those service programs. So it's pretty cool what they do.
Cool.
The Lions Club organization. I'm a former Lion. Bite them. That's what we say when we vote. I don't know if I just gave away like a secret. I'm going to have some Lions now looking for me. You know,
they're Easter. Coming for you.
Easter, you gave us a secret. The secret of the Lions.
Excommunicado right now.
Yes, I'll never be able to be a Lion again. I ain't lying. What?
The last but not least up on the board. Fall break. Fall break, October 12th to the 27th.
Yeah.
No school.
I know a lot of people are looking forward to that.
I am one of them.
Myself included as well. And also today is Yom Kippur. So,
cool.
Have a meaningful Yom Kippur to those who observe that holiday. So,
yeah, and that I believe is all.
That is it.
That is it for that thing that we call.
Of course, it is fall break coming up, as we've just mentioned. And what we like to do sometimes on this show and the previous show, School Talk, which I, you know, will say about 10 times referring to this show, Voices of the West Side. But what we like to do on this day before fall break or spring break, we like to highlight some things to do around the area, because we know parents may be looking for something to do locally, or maybe you're doing a staycation. You know, of course, the horrible things that have happened down in the South with the weather, with the hurricanes and things like that. Maybe some fall break changes, our plans changed. Some fall break plans may have changed because of some of the things that have happened. So we know you might be looking for some things to do. And one thing that's right here in our city is the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. Now, if you don't know about Benjamin Harrison, you're going to hear a lot about him here in the next 24 minutes or so, because he was the 23rd president of the United States, kind of notable for being the meat in the Grover Cleveland sandwich, if you look at all the presidents, because Grover Cleveland was elected twice. He's counted twice as the 22nd and 24th president, and right smack in the middle is Indiana's president, Benjamin Harrison. He's born in Ohio, but he lived in downtown Indianapolis. And if you've ever been on Delaware Street, if you're going north, you go under I-70, I-65 there. Actually, I think it's I-65 at that point. You go underneath that bridge, and right on the left-hand side of the road, if you're going north, or on the right-hand side if you're coming south, is the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. And we were privileged to be joined by Lindsay Beckley earlier this week. I caught up with her, and we had a good conversation about the presidential site. So I won't give any more of it away. We'll just go right to that interview, Karen. Well, this is Voices of the West Side. I'm joined by Lindsay Beckley from the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And welcome to Voices of the West Side here on Indy's Giant 90.9. And, you know, we're heading into the fall break period here at Wayne Township. And I know several other schools around the area are on fall break. So what we like to do this time of year is just highlight some of the cool things that are around Indianapolis and maybe people can do while they're on fall break, or if they're looking for something to do with their kids, or they just want to go themselves and do it. And certainly, I think one of the hidden gems in Indianapolis is the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site, which is a place I have yet to visit. So first of all, if you're not aware, President Benjamin Harrison is Indiana's president. He was president from 1889 to 1993. He was, of course, the 23rd president, and he's also kind of famous for being the guy that kind of interrupted the two terms of Grover Cleveland, who he beat in the first election, and then, unfortunately for Harrison, lost in the second election. So he's an interesting guy. And certainly, you know, someone I think that maybe sometimes gets lost in history, but he was a very significant president. So what else can you tell us about President Harrison?
Sure. So, of course, we love President Harrison. Like you said, one-term president, but in those 4 years, he did a lot. He admitted more states to the union than any other president. So he admitted 5 states to the union. He also instituted the practice of saying the Pledge of Allegiance and flying American flags over public institutions. So, you know, he fought in the Civil War. He was actually a general in the Civil War. And he saw how divided the country was during that time. So when he came into his presidency, he saw during some celebrations, he was actually the centennial president. So he was president exactly 100 years after George Washington's presidency. And during that celebration, there were, of course, American flags flying everywhere. And he saw that and he was kind of moved by it. And he called for it to be a practice to fly American flags over schools and other public buildings. So I think that's just such a, you know, a visible part of his legacy every day, that we're, you know, going about our business. Every time you see an American flag flying above a municipal building or a public school, you're seeing his legacy in action.
This is Lindsay Beckley from the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. And this site here in downtown Indianapolis, the home itself is located at 1230 North Delaware Street, which did not used to be downtown. I know that that used to be the suburbs of downtown. So yeah. Downtown has kind of encroached on the home. So what is kind of the history of the site, the presidential site, and President Harrison's home that has been so lovingly restored and maintained in an area where, you know, we've seen a lot of development? If you go downtown and you drive down Delaware, you find lots of different types of businesses, lots of different types of buildings. So what's kind of the history of the presidential site in the home?
Absolutely. So we're actually celebrating our 150th anniversary of construction right now. So the house started being built in 1874 and it was completed in 1875. And that's when the family moved into the home. And they lived there for the rest of the president's life, with the exception, of course, for the 4 years that he lived in Washington, D.C. And then after he passed away, his second wife, Mary Lord Dimmock, and their daughter, Elizabeth, lived here for several more years before moving out. And at that point, the Arthur Jordan Foundation actually took trust of the home, and with the understanding that it would be preserved as a memorial to Benjamin Harrison. So we are in a really, really lucky position where we have a direct line of kind of provenance from Benjamin Harrison's family to us, because the house is still owned by the Arthur Jordan Foundation and the museum is ran by the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site. So we, unlike a lot of presidential museums, if you're a presidential aficionado, you might know that many homes, many presidents' homes that you visit, especially like their homes before they were presidents, they only have a small fraction of the original items of the home, whereas we actually have about 75 to 80% of our artifacts are original to the home. So as you're walking through the home, you are seeing it mostly as the Harrisons would have seen it. And we've just finished up our Old Glory, our Old Glory New Vision campaign, which we raised money in order to renovate the home even further. And so as you see it today is the closest it's been to the Harrisons' time since they moved out.
And that's something that's really cool too, because you talk about that project that you just went through and all the improvements that were made to the home to make it a little bit more visitor friendly, I suppose you could say, because it used to be, I know, you had to park along Delaware and things like that, but you guys have made some significant improvements. So would you like to tell us about some of those things?
Absolutely. Yes. We, the most significant improvement I would say is our Johnson Floyd Presidential Commons, which is our south lawn. And as you walk from the commons, which is all the way at the south end of the property, up to the house, you'll walk along the presidential promenade, which has medallions and the signature of each of our presidents, from Washington all the way up through Joe Biden. And we have room for 200 more years of presidents. And so you can walk along there and kind of walk in the footsteps of the founders and see each administration, their the years that they were in office, how many states they admitted. And it's just such a lovely walk up to the House. And then once you get in the House, you see several of our rooms have recently been totally renovated with new new wallpaper and new paint. We did a paint analysis on the House. It's interesting how you can kind of weave science in with history to kind of do that historic preservation part of our work. And actually, the last big project of the Old Glory New Vision campaign is being finished up right now. And if you come and visit us, you'll get to see the brand new gift shop space. So our welcome center is being totally reimagined, and it's actually opening this week. You're going to be able to see our new really, really nice gift shop.
That sounds awesome. Lindsay Beckley is joining us from the Benjamin Harrison Presidential site. You talked a little bit about it there, but what is the relationship? I know when you talk about the presidency, it is a pretty small club. You know, if you think about it, only 45 different people have served in that role. There have been 46 presidents, but as we referenced earlier, Grover Cleveland is counted twice. So you talk about a real small group of individuals who have been in that role. What is the relationship between the Benjamin Harrison site, maybe some of the other presidential sites that are around?
Yeah, so we do, certainly we are all cohorts, and we attend conferences that are held biannually for all the presidential sites. So there's a lot of interconnectedness with us. But unlike many other presidential sites, we are privately owned. So we aren't part of the National Park System like many others are. We're just a privately owned museum. We do have working relationships with them. And most significantly, our Future Presidents of America program, which is a youth summer camp. We started that here several years ago, and it's actually been expanded to several other presidential sites throughout the country. And we're looking to expand more in the future. So that is probably the biggest program that we share. It's a youth program where, 10 to 15 kids ages 13 through 16 come to the site, and they go on little excursions every day. They get to hear really interesting speakers, and it's a youth leadership camp. So you're kind of taking hints pointers from the presidency, from the presidents, from other leaders in our community, and learning how you can go back to your school, back to your family, and in the future into your career, be a good leader.
That's Lindsay Beckley joining us from the President Benjamin Harrison presidential site. And we've talked about a little bit about the home and kind of where it sits downtown, but I think one of the cool things, one of the significant things, is how presidential campaigning has changed. If we kind of go back and talk about that a little bit, President Harrison pretty much campaigned from his front porch. And that is so foreign to how we think about presidential campaigning these days, which typically happens in a small number of states that are, what we call the battleground states. So what was that like? If you were someone who lived in Indianapolis at that time, what was it like during the time that President Harrison was running for office?
I think it must have been just extremely exciting. Like you said, President Harrison, then General Harrison, gave about 80 speeches from the front stoop of his home. At that time, it didn't have the iconic front porch. That was actually later added in a renovation in the 1870s. Or, yes, in the 1890s. And so he gave about 80 speeches from that front stoop, and folks from all over the country came to hear him speak. And I can't imagine how exciting it would have been just imagining our front, you know, lawn and where Delaware is now. Of course, it's been much expanded, so it would have been a larger front lawn in those days, just kind of crowded with people. At that point, there was a picket fence that went all the way around the property. And by the end of that election campaign, there were only a few pickets left in that picket fence because people who were coming to see the speeches were actually taking them as souvenirs. So we, in our collection, have one singular picket, and that's all we have in our collection because all of the rest were taken as souvenirs.
That's kind of cool, but it's like, hey, you're taking my fence here. Yeah, this.
I think it was probably worth it in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Once again, we're joined here on Voices of the West Side by Lindsay Beckley of the Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site, and I'm just kind of looking back a little bit at his service in the Civil War, which I kind of can also speak from a little bit of. I mean, I had ancestors that fought in the Civil War. Some of my, and I'm a descendant of, I believe it is six individuals in my past, plus cousins and brothers and things like that who probably also served. But I know directly either my great-great-great or four-time great grandfathers served in the Civil War and all for the Union. So when you look at what President Harrison did as far as that whole generation that he was a part of, a lot of them were shaped by the Civil War. So you talked a little bit about it earlier, about kind of how that shaped the person that he was. But what else can you tell us about his service in the Civil War that maybe people are unaware about, or what might have helped him when he became president to see things differently?
Absolutely. He was the true definition of a citizen soldier. He didn't have any military experience prior to the Civil War, and he was granted a commission, and he raised a volunteer corps, and he actually hired a gentleman with more experience than himself to train his soldiers because he knew he didn't have, you know, the expertise to do that himself. But he did go on campaign and was in the front lines, and he was never more proud of anything, including the presidency, as he was of his Brigadier General commission. So we have in our collection and on display the Brigadier General commission signed by Abraham Lincoln just days before his assassination. It was one of the last, most likely one of the last documents he signed in his life. So that's one of our most prized collection pieces. And as I mentioned earlier, he was really, you know, invested in national identity, building and fostering national identity, because he saw what being affiliated solely with your state meant and what it could cause to, you know, our nation and how divided we were. So again, that's one of the reasons that he instated flying the American flag to foster more of a national identity than a, you know, state by state identity, which, I mean, was very important to him. And he was just, you know, of course, his experiences in the Civil War couldn't help but shake the rest of his life.
Yeah, I was kind of reading a little bit about President Harrison and the quote, "If I could be of service, I will go." I think that's an awesome thing that kind of describes how he was as a person. But he also did some things from a civil rights perspective that people may not be aware of. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, he was a great champion of civil rights. He introduced several legislation pieces that, and supported during his presidency, legislation pieces that would have secured Black voting rights in the South against Jim Crow laws that were at that time forming. And of course, those did not go through, so it was never passed, and it took all the way until Lyndon Johnson in the 1960s for that to be passed, a similar bill to be passed. So he was pretty far ahead of his time on that kind of thing. He also hired Dolly Johnson into the White House. She was a formerly enslaved woman who was cooking, had a restaurant in Louisville, Kentucky, and he hired her to be his White House chef. He actually fired a French White House chef as he came in and hired her because he preferred the kind of bluegrass, they called it quote-unquote bluegrass cooking that she produced. And we actually now have a Juneteenth Food Waste Festival every year celebrating Dolly Johnson's life and career.
Lindsay Beckley joining us here on Voices of the West Side. As we wrap things up, how do you get into what you do? Because certainly I know this is a career that people become a part of. So how do you become involved, or how do you get a job at the doing what you do at the presidential site?
Yeah, so I think for me at least, I have a degree in public history from Ball State. And I've worked as a research historian for several years and at Conner Prairie and other museums in the area. And I came here, I love working here. It's such a pleasure to be able to work in such a historic house for such an amazing president every day. If you love history, I say, you know, there are lots and lots of jobs out there in the history field other than history teacher, which is what I think everybody thinks you're going to go into when you get a history degree. But there are other paths here as well. We have folks here that have English degrees and philosophy degrees. So you can take many, many roads to get here. The only requirement is you're passionate about history.
Lindsay Beckley joining us here. It's interesting you say work for a president. Do you see yourself as still working for President Harrison?
I see myself as working towards promoting civic engagement using his legacy. So I'm working, I think, for the American people. I want to see us not be 50th in voter registration anymore, as Indiana is. So that's one of our main missions, is to promote civic engagement in Indiana and in the U.S. So I think that's where I see myself, as working for the American people, using his story as a springboard.
And that brings us to our next question. What are some of the programming things you have coming up at the President Benjamin Harrison Presidential Site?
Actually, this weekend, tonight, Friday the 11th, is our opening night of Candlelight Theater. It's called Monsters, Moles, and Murder. It's an interactive murder mystery. So you come to the site and you're split up into four different teams, and you interview suspects throughout the house to try to solve the murder of Mickey Scapone, who is the owner of a speakeasy. It's a really, really fun program that we have. This is our second year doing something similar. It's not the exact same story, but it's such a fun program. We have it for the next two weekends running, and I encourage everybody to come out and you get to see the house and you get an awesome story, and it's really, really fun. And it's good for all ages.
And can you still vote at the President Harrison site?
Absolutely. If you live in Marion County, you can come out on Election Day. We don't do early voting here, but we are an election center. So on November 5th, make sure you're registered to vote before then, but come on out. And we do have on-site voting, and we also have live Election Day that day. It's a free day, so anybody who'd like can come out and go through the home and meet. The president will be here in flesh and blood, as well as his wife and a few other characters from the Harrison's life. So that's one of the few days every year that we have an actors on the ground.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay. It's been fun talking to you and learning about the President Harrison site as we begin fall break here. And I know from a personal standpoint, I had a good friend who taught with me at Franklin Central High School, Jim Johnson, who I know was did a lot of things with the presidential site and passed away recently. You know, I know how passionate he was about the President Harrison site, so it's really awesome to have this in our city and to have had it for so many years downtown. And,
probably people pass by it every day and not really, it's hard to kind of pass by it now with the improvements that you made, but so many people may pass by it every day and not realize what's to offer right here in our city.
Yeah, we got to get you out here to get a tour.
Absolutely. I may do it over fall break.
Perfect.
Yeah, I've got lots of time, and certainly I love presidential history. I really do. Always been interested. When I was about, my mom used to work at the library at School 108 up on 38th Street when it was still in IPS. And I think it's Gambold Academy, something now. But anyway, they had a book fair, and she bought me a book, and it was called 40 Presidents, Facts and Fun, kind of aging myself a little bit because Ronald Reagan was president at the time. And I read that book so much that we had to get another copy because it fell apart. And so I've always been interested in history and presidential history. And even though I teach radio broadcasting, I've always been interested. And my father was also interested in Civil War history. So so many of those things intersect with President Harrison. So I have no excuse. I need to get out there.
Well, and even with your subject that you teach, did you know that Benjamin Harrison is the first president that we have a recording of?
I did not know that.
Oh, it's even more close to home than you thought. And you can hear it. You can actually hear that recording on the tour that we give.
And President Harrison is buried in Indianapolis as well at Crown Hill Cemetery. I have seen his gravesite. And also he died in the home.
Yes, he died in the master bedroom on the second floor, which, again, you get to see all of that and actually go into the rooms and be right there where things happened, including his death and his nomination for presidency.
Well, so many great things happened for him in that house, and also, of course, the end of his life happened there. Mm-hmm. But thank you so much for joining us and educating us on the President Harrison presidential site. And like I said, I need to get out there, and I have no excuse now.
Yes, come out anytime. We'll get you a good tour.
All right. Thank you. 1230 North Delaware is the location of the Benjamin Harrison presidential site in downtown Indianapolis. Thanks once again for joining us, Lindsay.
Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
So that was Lindsay Beckley from the Benjamin Harrison presidential site here on Voices of the West Side on WBDGFM HD1 Indianapolis. Welcome back live to the studios. John Easter and Kieran Sandulo in studio. I thought that was interesting. You know, President Harrison died in the home.
Mm-hmm.
So
he's haunting it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's haunting it or not, but
have you registered to vote yet?
You can't. I thought it was interesting. You can actually go and vote on Election Day at the President Harrison presidential site. So that is that's pretty awesome. So they're keeping his spirit alive, so to speak, here in Indianapolis. I thought it was interesting that she said, do you still think of like you're working for President Harrison? And then she said, well, I feel like I'm working for the American people, which I thought was interesting because, you know, presidential history and things like that really interests me. We were talking, and in fact, I can still buy the book that started all. It's $5. I could go buy that book that started it all for me. My interest in presidential history, but I have never been to the Benjamin Harrison site. So
really?
Looking forward to going there. You know, if the ghosts, we were talking, if the ghosts, you think they rip on each other, the dead presidents rip on each other?
Absolutely.
No, it's like Harrison.
Four score and 7 years ago.
Be quiet, Lincoln. You're always out there with your speeches.
At least my speeches got people to come to them.
And Buchanan's like, I was Secretary of State. They're all like, yeah, that's all you were because you weren't president. Ha, ha, ha. Have another drink, Pierce. You know, they're always doing that. I think that's probably what it's like.
That would be great. I would watch a sitcom about that.
You know?
I would watch that TV show.
You know, that was it.
The show Ghosts?
Yes.
That, but with former presidents.
you know, we don't talk to Washington. What? hey, Madison, you need a step stool?
Short. Them all with yeah. like that accent.
That's a deep cut. That's a deep cut right there. All right. Well, that is Voices of the West Side for this week. And check out the Benjamin Harrison home on Delaware, downtown in Indianapolis, and much more. There's also just in this area, you know, it's like Indiana, Kentucky, and Illinois all claim Lincoln. We're in Lincoln's boyhood home. Kentucky is, I can't remember what they claim, they, because Lincoln grew up there. And then, of course, Illinois, this presidential library's over in Springfield. That's a trip I want to take. Over in Ohio, you've got all sorts of presidents and their libraries. In fact, right outside the Ohio State House, there's a statue of William McKinley.
Hmm.
So it's there, but I know the Garfield site is over there. Not the cat, but President Garfield, who, by the way, read the story of President Garfield. That's tragedy right there. It really is. But you've got President Harding sites over there, Rutherford B. Hayes. Decided. I mean, these are all within short driving distance of Indianapolis and Iowa. You have, let's see, who's in Iowa? Hoover. President Hoover's site is in Iowa. Missouri has President Truman's site down in Texas. There's George W. Bush's and George H.W. Bush's presidential sites. I know Barack Obama's building his in Chicago. So Indianapolis is kind of centrally located. You can hit a lot of these presidential sites. Where is Eisenhower's? I think it's in Texas. But anyway.
That's, anyways.
Do what?
I said anyways.
Yeah, anyway. So I think that's going to do it for this week's Voices of the West Side. Everybody have a very good fall break. Just enjoy it. Don't do anything. We won't be back for 2 weeks.
Nope.
So you won't have to hear us in this time slot.
But you won't be able to hide from me. I'll find you.
I have a certain set of skills.
I'm Batman.
Yeah. So that's going to do it for this week's Voices of the West Side. Bye-bye. Can you tell we're ready for fall break?
Oh, yeah. I want to get out of here.
Yeah, let's go. To the parents and to the teachers, our students have so much to give. You must teach them to be investors in themselves and their communities. What you give out is what you're going to be given back. And students, remember, your future is in the hands of the ones you hang with. It's okay to be a copycat, just copy the right cat. Don't get caught with the wrong crowd. And as always, the views expressed on Voices of the West Side are not necessarily the views of the MSD of Wayne Township, Ben Davis High School, or WBDG. From all of us here at Voices of the West Side, we'll see you on down the road. Make sure to join us next time. I'm John Easter, over and out. Have a great weekend.